Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And folks, we're picking up on 50 years in the ministry, this radio ministry, some of the things that have happened. And one of the things I remember, in fact, several there, Pat Chaplain McTurnan, was what happened in York, PA, at the Planned Predators. They went after the wrong guy this time, didn't they?
Yeah, it was quite a battle. It was like hand-to-hand combat. Ernie. But what happened was Planned Parenthood in York was a center to bring underage children there for abortions because the county was completely owned by Planned Parenthood. They gave money to both any candidate. They gave both the Democrat and Republican. They had people from Planned Parenthood that would work the campaigns. They owned judges. So the whole county was literally owned by Planned Parenthood. But we noticed all these young children coming in. We took pictures. I showed it to the police. Planned Parenthood paid the police to be there with the uniform on, guns, the squad car, the whole thing, and they were off duty. And they were paying him, I remember I checked on it, they paid them $40 an hour to come at Planned Parenthood. Anyways, they wouldn't do anything. I took it to the district attorney. The district attorney, laughed at me. I took it to the attorney general. I had the pictures and everything. I took the district attorney said the only complaints they would accept is from a parent or legal guardian. But the law says anyone can make a complaint. They completely ignored the law. I went to the attorney general, who would do nothing, and said you got to work with the local district attorney, who already wouldn't do anything. I went to Children and Youth. They said, yes, we will investigate this, but the district attorney has to give us the names to investigate it. So the district attorney controlled the whole thing, Pastor Ernie. And in the meantime, they were violating. Oh, so what happened was the only good thing that happened was they stopped doing abortions. I made on the young girls. I made such a furor, and it made the local radio also. But you were backing me all the way, Pastor Ernie. You were calling those officials there to be interviewed on the show. You exposed it, and you did a tremendous job. But they tried to kill me. A car tried to run me over, and the police saw it and did nothing. So I took it right to the mayor, and I took it to their internal affairs, and there was a huge furor over this. So then they tried to violate my constitutional rights. They went after me, the police. So a law firm picked that up, and to make a long story short, Tester, and it went all the ways up into the federal courts, and the federal court ruled in my favor, and it changed the law in Pennsylvania and other states. It was such a victory. I spoke to one judge about it, and he said he had never seen in all his years, I think he said something like 45 years in law, he has never seen a victory like this.
Well, when you started, John, when you took it to the first judge, he had to recuse himself because he said, yes, he had too had got money from Planned Parenthood.
Right, right. He said, you'll never get a fair trial in York because he's the one that told us how they operated. He said they own everybody. Now York is both a county and a city. So we would appeal the cases. They would convict the pro-life people. We would appeal it. And on appeal, we would win. But we could not win. The Planned Parenthood owned the chief of police, the mayor. They owned the police that came. They owned the district attorney. They owned county officials. They owned the whole power structure of the county. But you backed me on that and had me on the show explaining what was going on, getting national attention for it. So I thank you for that, Pastor.
Well, I thank you for going after them because, again, I know what it's like. It's you know, they're trying to kill you on the streets, and then you have to go up against corrupt police, corrupt courts. Unbelievable. The corruption.
There's one video of me confronting one of the corrupt police officers, and everybody that watches it thought he was going to shoot me because he had his hand on his gun as I was talking to him, and his hand was literally shaking, Pastor Ernie. It was shaking. It looked like he had palsy or something. As I was there, I wasn't directly in his face, but I was confronting him about the young girls going in and what a coward he was and all, taking money. And his hand was just literally shaking on the gun.
I remember when you were there helping me in front of preterm abortion mill in Cleveland, and that security guard. I was out back, and he came running out. You were in the front, and you were giving him fits. And so he ran around back, and he runs into me, and he said, "Oh no," he said, you had the pro-deathers. The deathers came out, okay, to try to, you know, help the women kill their babies. But you went over and told them it's time to go home, and they left. Remember?
Well, what happened was there was a big crowd of them. I don't know how many. It was like 15 or 20. And I was carrying a sign, a pro-life sign. And I'm a big guy, so I kind of towered over them. So I had the sign, and I was holding it up in the air. And they were begging me to leave. And the cars were coming by. They saw this sign, and they were giving me thumbs up. And they thought they thought everybody was a pro-life rally. And they were begging me to leave. And I said, "No, you leave. I'm not going anywhere." So they left.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was another thing in Pittsburgh, PA. The nightmare in Pittsburgh. And this happened back, I believe it was, what, about the mid-90s, John Early?
It was a while ago, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
That was one that really went public big time.
Yeah,
big
well, time. We went after it. We were the first ones to really expose it. And what happened was, I remember Pastor Paul Arms and his wife Stephanie, they were there at that, and they took her. They threw her in the back. That mayor, that corrupt mayor there at that time, told the cops, I want you to make sure that you make these women never want to come back. You make these women, these pro-life women, never come out. She was really angry at the pro-life women. And so what happened, they molested Stephanie, pastor's wife, in the back of that. And then what happened was I had these women, a mother and a daughter, on the radio program. They came in. And they had on their breasts, John, where they were their breasts, where they grabbed them and squeezed their breast and left bruises, okay, on their breast. But what happened, they took them into, and their lawyer actually lost his home and everything. They went after him big time. He ended up losing his home and everything defending these ladies. But I had the mother, the daughter, and her husband, the woman's husband, in the studio with me live, telling what happened, how they took them into the, first of all, they loaded them on a bus. And here is what those ladies told me right there on live on air. See, we put this stuff out. It went out all over. And they were in a real panic. And they said that they took those plastic straps and they strapped their hands behind them. And then these dirty cops who were told, "You make these women never want to come back here again," exposed themselves and stood up behind the women. And so then they took them into the workhouse, and this is how they explained it on the radio, that they took them and they set them in a chair in front of the inmates' cells, and then they stood behind them and then from behind fondled the women. They told me that they had like, stairs like you would have. You'd go up about 6-7 stairs, and then you'd have a little platform. Then you'd go up another 6 or 7 stairs. Anyhow, they told me that up on that, when they went up about 6-7 stairs, there would be female cops there, and they pulled their blouses up over their head and exposed their breasts. And made them walk up the stairs that way, okay? And so all of this stuff, we put it out. And then I went there, and because they had another protest, and this time I went and I announced on the radio, I'm going to go down. I want to look in the eyes. I want to look in the eyes and see what kind of dirty, cowardly cops would do that to these women, okay? And the cops were lining up, and I walked it down, and as you try to look them in the eye, they'd look away. They'd look the other way. They wouldn't even look you in the eye. That's how bad it was. But
Well, Pastor Ernie, the Lord really came through on this, because shortly after that happened, you remember all these events got to the all these things that the Pittsburgh police were doing got to the federal government. And the U.S. attorney took control of the Pittsburgh police. You remember that, Pastor?
Yeah, that's right. They did.
They did. Remember, they messed around with God's people. And I think a whole bunch of those police officers were fired. And like monthly, they had the Pittsburgh police had to give reports to the Justice Department about their conduct. That went on for years, Pastor Ernie, for years. Pittsburgh Police Department was under the authority of the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Yeah. Well, you know, here it is, John, 30 years later, 40 years later, and we're still talking about it on the radio. So, you know, make sure your sins will find you out, huh?
And well, so found them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that reminds me of that old hymn, "And the battle goes on forever, twixt the darkness and the light."
Absolutely.
It is. I remember back, you were talking about the 90s, John. I was chairman of an organization called Restoring America, and working with Phyllis and some other people at the time. And just tying all this in, the idea was, which are you going to choose, our founding fathers' America or the new socialist America? And I was talking about the plan. Mark Tucker, back in 1993, was a friend of Hillary Clinton, and he was talking about the great opportunity in front of the country to remold the entire American system. And he was the idea of bringing in this plan, the socialistic restructure, elitist control, big brother in charge, bureaucrats in power, values-free humanism, command economy, licenses to work, industry-dictated education. That was the school-to-work plan. And I remember reading from the Humanist magazine, 1983, "The battle for mankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom. The classroom must and will become the arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the new faith of humanism." And we, you know, as we go back through this history, everything was a battle. Everything is a fight between good and evil, between the Antichrist and you know, the followers of Jesus. It has been everywhere you look, a spiritual battle between good and evil, and everything that we been discussing today falls into that category of a spiritual battle, right?
Absolutely. It's we have been involved in these things, but again, it goes back to God. Jesus came to give us life and more abundantly. The devil came to rob, steal, and kill.
Kill, exactly. And that's what it's been ever since. They are robbing, stealing, and killing what? Freedom, life itself?
Absolutely. And you know, we had you and I had our situations when Obama was in there in Indianapolis. Where was that?
The university. Oh, good grief! That Catholic school.
There you go. This is what happens to you, folks. Notre Dame University.
Notre Dame, I couldn't come up with it.
It was one of those there. And
he wanted all the crosses covered or he wouldn't speak. They were going to give him an honorary PhD, but they had to cover all the crosses in the place or he wouldn't go there. I mean,
but here,
that was telling.
The amazing thing was that I got a call from a Catholic bishop asking me if I, they said, look, they told me about what's happening. They said, look, we're up against our apostate and our bishops. Boy, was he right, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, we need some help. Can you bring some of your Baptist preachers down here to let them preach that hellfire stuff? And I said, yeah, I can do that. We do that, okay. And they treated us really good. I got to say, the hospitality, they put us up in a nice home and really, really treated us good. But we went down there, and yeah, when Obama made them the apostate bishops there, Notre Dame, and remember that the school there, the Catholic school for women, where they fired the one professor because he was pro-life.
Yeah,
and
for life in a Catholic
school. But here they had covered all of the crosses up on that university because Obama didn't want to look upon a cross.
Yeah,
and you talk about blasphemy, outright blasphemy, and here the Lord blessed in that area too. That was when you guys, they arrested everybody right up to me. And that is when that woman came up and she whispered to me, the Catholic priest, the very well-known Catholic priest, I'm trying to...
Neither one of us can remember his name.
Yeah, he's very well-known for pro-life activist. Anyhow, he went with him. Ambassador Alan
Keyes. Well, he and the priest and I were carrying the cross. We got arrested for carrying the cross of Christ to a prayer grotto to pray. I mean, that was a horrible sin, right?
Yeah. And then just as the lady that was the one that was forefront in the whole abortion. Here all of these years, can you believe this, that you know, her name would
Norma
be on...
Norma McCovey.
Yeah.
Norma McCorvey.
Norma McCorvey. McCorvey. Yeah.
McCorvey. I was close.
Yeah, I was literally... My knees were literally stuck in her back. She's the one that this whole thing... She admitted that it was all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and they arrested her. And while they were arresting her, I figured, I'm going next. The lady in charge of distributing the signs, because we just had a whole bunch of new people come out, and she comes up and she says, we have no signs, Pastor. You've got to get these signs. And right in front of me, they had piled them all up, you know, of the signs, the anti, you know, abortion, pro-life, and anti-Obama signs. So it was like the Lord was right there on this. I mean, the cop in charge, the great big cop, he said, well... He said, do you want to be arrested too? And I said, not that you mentioned it, not really. He said, he said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm just going to grab my signs here and I'm just leaving. He said, yeah.
I couldn't go home.
I couldn't believe that. Only God could do that. Only, you know, because they were dragging, they were dragging you guys away. I mean, they were dragging you off, okay?
Yeah.
And so that was an amazing thing there. We distributed those signs all the way back down. It was just amazing.
Well, it was fun. Ellen, Ambassador Keyes and I and some others were busy singing gospel hymns down there half the night long and driving the guards crazy. I mean, it was more fun. We were preaching and praying and singing these gospel songs. We just had too much fun. They just couldn't stand it. They tried to turn down the heat so we'd freeze. They tried everything to... you know, we just had a great time in the Lord.
There was supposed to be a lot of speakers for that event that night, but you guys all got arrested, so I had to carry the whole program just about. There was myself and the priest that got fired for being pro-life. And
and the next time I got out because one of the people I brought had to have some medicine. They wouldn't let him have his medicine, so I had to get out to bail him out to get the medicine. They were cruel.
But yeah.
I got to speak that night. It was the first time. There were a couple of times in our speaking tours I had to speak behind Ambassador Keys, which is horrible. You never want to have to speak after Alan Keyes. I mean, no matter how good you are, you sound horrible. And I was so happy. I said, tonight I get to speak instead of him, not behind him.
Yeah.
I had to crack up because it was that whole thing. And they really enjoyed having us there and what we were doing when we stood up and talked. We got the best reception I think we'd ever had anywhere speaking.
Yeah.
Different Catholic priests and people there at Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, just to think about that, how that the reality there, they covered every cross, you know, on there. How they still exist, how they are still funded, how the Catholic people...
Divided, yeah. Well, it was so divided against itself back then. It was like two separate Catholic churches.
Yeah. And so... And, John, you remember when we went, we were asked to come to Toledo.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, Pastor Ernie, vividly.
That was an interesting thing. You ought to have seen this, Joe. You had this abortion mill. It was three stories high. It was a wooden building, a big, big wooden building. And when we get down there, the front doors were open, wide open. And so John and I, we went in there, and there wasn't anybody there. But what happened was eminent domain was taking the property because they were going to build a baseball stadium. And so they were moving the abortionists and all were moving out. And at that time we got there, nobody was there at that exact time. They were probably moving in the trucks or something. I don't know where they were, but we went in. And, John, do you remember the tables, table after table after table after table? They had this set up, and you had to see this. On these tables, these women were all witches. They were all witches. They had the herbs. Remember, they had the different color candles, the different herbs laid out there at each station. And then they had lesbian pornography. They had pornography, and they had one more thing there that was just an amazing. You remember what it was, John?
Yeah, it was a Bible, but I don't...
The NIV. They had the NIV Bible all opened.
I didn't remember which one, but I knew it wasn't the King James.
Yeah, they had... That was their Bible, the NIV. Unbelievable. So these witches had that. There must have been 20 stations there. And so what happened was, here came... this group of women, they were all small women, weren't they? They were pro-life ladies. They were all small ladies. And they had come in, and they were the ones that had called and invited us down, and they had set up outside. There was a platform out there. And so they had a microphone and everything set out. And you and I went out there, and there were two Catholic priests there. And so anyhow, we got up on that platform, and there was a church, remember? No more than about 100 feet away, right in the shadow of an abortion mill. And it had the 40 days, or the, what was
Rick Warren.
Yeah, Rick Warren's 40-day whatever, or was it?
Yeah.
They had that big...
That church is right across the street from the abortion center.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And so and I got up to the mic, and there to our right, there was two police cars parked with cops in them. To our left, and it was a little elevated, there was like a little rise, a little hill. To the left, there was all the media trucks were up there. And so we got up on that platform, and... they asked me, remember that, how could a church exist in the shadow of an abortion mill? And I said, you're assuming and presuming that that's an actual church. I said, if it was, it couldn't exist. The abortion mill, if that was a real church, the abortion mill wouldn't exist, but it's not, okay? And so then they asked me, because remember what had happened to those pro-life women. the witches had beat them. They actually went into the abortion mill trying to witness to the witches. Remember, they went in there and just trying to witness to them. And this is no kidding. I'm not kidding you here. The witches in that abortion mill beat those women with brooms. They actually, I don't know if they were riding around on them, but they actually beat those women with brooms. And when they called the police came in and they helped the witches from the abortion mill. Because the police were...
To add to what you're saying, I remember being there when the women were talking and they said, oh, this is where they grabbed me and held me and beat me. And then the police came and they held me and they all were beating me. Right here, this spot right here, and all the women were sharing the places where they had gotten beaten in that abortion center.
So we went out there. Remember the two Catholic priests? I asked them, "Would you want to say something here?" And they said, "No, our bishop won't let us say anything. We have to. We can be here, but we can't say anything."
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my Lord lets me say whatever He tells me to say.
Anyhow, so what happened was, the ladies have pointed to the cops. The cops were no more than, say, 25, 30 feet away from us, the two cars. And they sat there with smirks on their face. And she says, how can we get these people, these cops, to do their job, and not be so corrupt? And I said, there you go again. You're assuming and presuming these are police officers with integrity and honor. I said, they're not. I see those are whores. Take a look at those whores in uniform. That's what they are. They've sold themselves. What happened to those cops right away?
They didn't like it, Pastor Ernie, and they got in their squad cars there and drove off.
The smirks were all gone. The smirks left their face, and they jumped in because it was true. I mean, everything I've said.
It's the truth. Right?
Yeah. So they took right off, and then I looked over, and the media was watching them. In fact, even, taking pictures of them leaving, okay? And so then the women said, how can you get those people there, the media, to tell the truth? And I said, well, there you go again, presuming and assuming that they have any interest in the truth.
True.
I said, those are media whores. That's what they are. And then they were gone pretty soon. There was just those of us left. We went out, had a great dinner too, didn't we? And those nice little ladies.
Yeah, we did. I remember that, Pastor Ernie. Yeah, we had an Italian restaurant, I think.
Yeah.
But you left one part out. All the material that was found.
Yeah. Yeah, you went. You mean the stuff that was on the tables, or what you found in the?
They had all those records out there, and records there.
Yeah, you found all kinds of stuff going through their files, didn't you? The doors were open. Doors were wide open.
Yeah.
So
no breaking, just entering.
Yeah. Well,
when you were talking, it was the purpose-driven church. We couldn't think of
Rick Warren's purpose-driven church.
Purpose-driven, but you notice the purpose wasn't to save babies or witness to people to be born again. It was totally to form a business model.
It was apostate, is whole get out.
Definitely apostate church.
Yeah.
Pastor Ernie, there are two preachers. Now, one has passed away from Atlanta, Georgia. He was on for years and years and years. Can you remember his name?
Charles Stanley is probably who you're talking about.
Yes. I remember vividly that there was an abortion center like directly across the street from his church.
Yeah.
And the pro-lifers wanted his help, and he said no.
They wouldn't let us park it. He wouldn't let us park in his church parking lot. A huge.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the police came. And on his grounds, on the grounds of the church, they arrested and brutalized a whole bunch of pro-lifers. And that ended up as a big civil rights case. And the pro-life won. And Atlanta had to pay a lot of money.
Well, what happened? Remember, we asked Charles to come and join us. And he said, when they start arresting people for praying, I'll lead.
You're right. And you're right. That's exactly right, Pastor.
What happened within a week, right there in front of his church, they arrested 10 pastors, didn't they?
Yeah, and he did nothing, absolutely nothing.
But we called out, where are you, Charles? Where are you, right?
And then there's that preacher from Los Angeles. He's still around.
Oh, the Crystal Cathedral.
No.
Not that one.
Yeah. MacArthur.
MacArthur. Yeah. The pro-lifers were having an event in Los Angeles, and one of the chiefs of police was in his church. And he said, what should we do? He said, well, they're not following Romans 13. So whatever happens to them happens. Do you remember that, Pastor?
Well, he said, do your job. Well, here's the thing, though. They were using nunchucks, and they broke the arms.
Yes. They broke people's arms, little like nuns and men and all. And, yes, they actually were counseled. The church, MacArthur's church, actually went along with that, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, going back to Atlanta, remember, it was like 1984. They were using helicopters and police dogs against the pro-lifers. I mean, just unbelievable. They would never do this to homosexuals or anybody, just the pro-lifers. And it was really, in both cases, it was bad. And, you know, it was shortly after that, John MacArthur was sued for preaching against the sin of sodomy. There was a sodomite, I guess, in his congregation that sued him, and he had to pay him. But
and the chief of police that oversaw this, I remember it vividly with him because of law enforcement. They said that because he went to MacArthur's church, he must be anti-homosexual also. They got a petition up. They fired him. He got fired. And he was, I remember him publicly saying no one would support him. Do you remember that, Pastor Ernie?
Oh, yeah.
That the public turned, exactly what he did to the pro-lifers happened to him like 6 months later. Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, over the years, this radio ministry, see, we exposed all of that. None of the fake news media, and a lot of this stuff was happening right at the time other radio programs are just coming out. But see, we were, for a long time, we were back out there. The only ones that was out there with us when I started was Noah Hutchins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And remember what happened, Joe, because Noah was... We did a lot. Oh, John, you and I, we went to Noah's. He asked us to be speakers. We spoke at his events, several of them.
Several of the events he put on, yeah.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I don't know if you know this or not, but Noah Hutchins gave me my start in the ministry.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. My first book was God's Final Warning to America. And he loved it, and he printed it for me and put me on a speaking tour, and I was on many of his radio shows almost regularly, but yeah, I was on his speaking tours. I spoke all over the country with Noah and his ministry.
Yeah, I went on several of them myself, but he was a great man. Noah was one of my heroes, and do you know that he was actually on the air for 62 years?
And, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, and not only that, but, you know, only God could do this. He got caught smuggling Bibles into China. And by God's grace, they turned him loose, and they didn't kill him. Because things were not going very well at that time. That was back after World War II. And so, Noah was a great, great man.
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, one of my books I dedicated to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, he was. He got me going in the ministry.
Yeah, he's the only one, John, that I think is that I can remember. I can't remember any others that were there. Now, right about that time after, I know Tex Mars was on for years. And back in the early days, I think you, Joe, and both you and I both were, I had Alex Jones on my program. He was on my program first, and then later on, I would go on to his programs.
Yeah, I was going on with Alex on his program and with B1 Bob Dornan. In fact, Bob was kind of the one that got me toward being in the ministry. He would introduce me as a teacher, a speaker, and a preacher, and I'd go, Bob, I'm not a preacher. And he goes, you preach more than the pastor at the church I go to on Sunday, so I'm calling you a preacher. And that kind of was a foretelling of what was going to happen to me.
You've heard the expression, I ran into him. Okay.
Yeah.
I was walking into the Congress building. He was walking out. And the door opened that was on the side door. And he stepped out and right into me. We bumped foreheads, and both of us went down on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
And yeah, I was kind of in a hurry going in. He was in a hurry coming out. I don't know what, but so we went down, and we just sat there for a couple of minutes, getting ourselves back.
Two hard heads, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I'll never forget that when you talk about I ran into him. I really did run into him. And then remember Gary Bauer?
Yeah.
He was he actually ran for president. He was with Jim Dobson for those years. And mm-hmm. When Reagan was speaking in D.C., he was speaking ahead of him on one of those outside televised things and it's when all that stuff really just started. And so I'm walking one direction, and I'm looking, and Bauer is walking in the other direction. And so we run right into each other. Now, I'm a lot bigger than he is, so he went down, and I was moving quick, and I literally stepped on his chest.
Oh.
And so, now listen to this, because
you didn't hurt him.
I was asked to speak there at the congressional breakfast there in D.C. And guess who else one of the other speakers was? So there I'm sitting, my wife is to my left, and I sat down, and Bowers, he wasn't sitting there when I first came in and sat down. But he comes in, and he's seated right next to me, and he looks at me, and I still have my footprint on his shirt.
Oh, no.
And he looks at me, and he says, you're not going to hurt me again, are you? Yeah. Boy, that was a very interesting time.
That was. I've got a list of some stuff I'd like to hit real quick that we did that I don't think any other ministry that I'm aware of, or radio program for that matter, did. We brought up the fact the 1969 memo of the radical population control ideas was called the Jaffe Amendment, Frederick Jaffe. Center for Family Planning, and we were breaking the story of how they wanted to reduce Planned Parenthood's memo, the strategies for the population control, right? Reconstructing the family, restructuring the family, encouraging homosexuality, tax-funded abortion, sterilization. We were talking about that, broke that story. And then later we were talking about how the World Economic Forum wanted a 86% reduction in the world's population. And we could do an entire show just on that subject. But we brought up the Fabian Socialist Society before anybody else. We talked about before, what's his name? Think of his name here in a minute. Overton Window, with the Fabians ducking, or, you know, heating the bellows, heating the fire, and on an anvil is the earth, and they're two socialists with their hammers pounding the earth. And the idea of they were pounding the earth into submission for the socialist government. We were the first radio program that talked about the Progressive Caucus, all these socialists that were members of the Democratic Socialists of America, led by Bernie Sanders. They were way back going into the early 90s, how they were planning to their revolution to control, turn a socialist. We brought that out. We were the ones that brought up the cultural Marxism, the works of Professor William Lind, and how they came to America to bring about the culture revolution. We did the Palestinian Liberation Organization Charter. We did the Hamas Charter, how the charters were the total destruction, you know, from the river to the sea, that they would get rid of all the Jews who had to be killed. We went against Earth Day. We talked about all the lies on Earth Day, the horrible lies put out, the eco-tranny tyranny that they were foaming on the country, how they lied. First, the Earth was going to, you know, die of global warming. Then it was global cooling. And
what was his name? He wrote the book.
Yeah, the Population Bomb.
Yeah, Ehrlich.
Right.
Yeah.
1968.
Yeah.
Mostly predicted the that hundreds of millions of people would starve to death in spite of any crash program that could be the government could embark on.
They had him on all the morning talk shows.
Oh, all the time.
He was going on there, yeah. Remember, we were going to freeze to death, and the reason was disposable diapers, Q-tips, and acid rain. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were going to do us in, and the Earth was going to end about 1988. That was going to be the last year of life on planet Earth. This is Ehrlich. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
And yeah, we went Pastor Ernie, excuse me. Do you remember the acid rain?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had forgotten all about that. The acid rain was going to kill all the forests in New York, New England, up in there.
Right.
There was a whole bunch of
cataclysmic.
Cataclysmic. Events, and then all of a sudden you didn't hear another word of it.
I had the geologist and I had people on the radio program that were talking about, look, without the acid rain, the meteorologist, without the acid rain, the minerals in the soil's not broken up. If there was no acid in the rain, then the plants couldn't grow.
Right. And the minerals wouldn't be there. Yeah, all this, you know. And again, remember when they got rid of the what was that chemical that killed the spraying from mosquitoes to stop the malaria?
Oh yeah.
And it was going to kill everything on Earth. And I know I'm going back. There's so many things that we did. Remember, we were the first ones to talk about Greenland. You know where they were worried the ice caps melting on Greenland. You know it's going. Well, Greenland had been ice-free back in history. We talked about how extended periods of time the Vikings lived there, grew wheat, raised goats and sheep. And wait a minute. Now they're worried that a couple centuries later that the ice cap is melting where once there was a lasting the settlement was established in 1985 B.C. And lasted to around 1450 A.D. They were up there, so there were thousands of them living with green pastures, grazing livestock, you know. We brought up all kinds of stories like this. One of the things we brought, most people didn't realize, they had changed the, remember, public domain?
Yeah.
The government changed the word from public use to public purpose. One word, public use to public purpose. And what that did this ruling allowed the government to seize private property that was just would benefit public purpose. And it allowed things like they took people off of a stretch of beach, took and confiscated all their homes, took over their homes by eminent domain to put up a big apartment complex and a restaurant and different things there on the coast. But it wasn't public use like a highway. It wasn't to have a military base. It wasn't something real important. One word, I remember we talked about it, one word changed how much power the government had over our freedoms and over our right to have land, have property. And I think we were the only ones that brought this up for a long, long time. And finally, there were some articles came out in The Economist and a couple other places that brought this out. And I remember somewhere on one of the newscasts, they were talking about some radio show had been talking about how they were government was gaining control by the use of one word, and you and I were the ones that put it on radio.
Yep. Yeah, I remember. Also, you remember back when, you remember Jacques Cousteau?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. He was the scientist that the world just cooed over.
Yeah, well, he had a theory because he had come up with the answer to the world's hunger problem. Back in those days, too, when you were having so many of the famines like today. But they had him on, and his answer to world hunger was that people are great sources of protein. And in the wild, nature itself tells you that the strong should eat the weak. And so he was saying that the answer to hunger is cannibalism, okay? And the left thought, this guy's brilliant, right?
Yeah, I mean, he also wanted to reduce the population by, hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah, they want to reduce it down from right now. At that time when he was around, it was approaching 7 billion. Right now it's approaching 8 billion. And they want to reduce it. I sat in their meetings when they openly spoken about reducing it down to half a billion, from 8 billion to half a billion people, okay?
Yeah.
And so they just want to keep enough people around. The idea is the
servants and people to grow food and for the rich, the elite, right?
Yeah, yep.
And then there was one other big story that we did. Went back and found 1938, Supreme Court made a ruling on Social Security. And their ruling was Social Security was a tax. Yeah, it was just a tax. And there was no lockbox, and that the government had the right to stop the benefits and keep the tax because it was a tax. There's no lockbox, all this stuff that they were put out there, you know, this famous thing. And we explained that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. You know, and we explained that if you were a good salesman and you were promising sky-high returns to early investor that would use the money from new investors to pay them off, this is what Social Security system was set up exactly like a illegal Ponzi scheme. And to this day, they're still doing it, you know, and they still, the Democrats talk about the trust fund. Oh, it doesn't exist because the trust fund is nothing but IOUs or promissory notes that promise future payments. And
I got to jump in, Joe, because we're running. Oh. We've got 4 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
And so, folks, we want to say it's really been good here tonight. This is just a little bit. What we discussed here tonight is just a little bit of what this radio ministry has been involved with. Over 50 years, and really been in the thick of the battle where it comes to the pro-life movement. We've really been out there into the thick of it. We just touched on a few of the things that we've been involved in, and that's why we so desperately need your support out there. This is Pledge Week. This is Pledge Week, and starting tomorrow night again, we'll be having the phones to be open, and we really do need to hear from you out there. We really do. Because this battle is not ending, fellas. It's just beginning now, isn't it?
Right. The battle goes on forever twixt the darkness and the light.
And so
the battle goes on, Pastor Ernie, and until the glorious second coming of Jesus Christ, and then evil, every bit of it is completely crushed.
Amen.
And so until then, we need to run to this battle. Like Paul says, run a good race, fight a good fight, and then hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Huh? That's our goal, isn't it?
It sure Amen. Is.
And so, and you guys have been champions for the Lord. I want to say it's been a blessing to be to work with the two of you over these years, over these many years. And it's not over until we win, right?
It's not over until we win, and we win when the Lord comes, like John said. But just remind people, they can go to WRWL.org, and they can donate right there online and to make up for the fact we couldn't take pledges tonight. WRWL.org, and make a donation.
Yeah, we definitely need. How much time do I have there? How much time? All righty. We got about 90 seconds. We have about 90 seconds left in tonight's program. So,
I've got a little piece I'd like to do real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I call it May. May the love of God surround you and give you peace. May the presence of God watch over and guide you. May the power of God protect you and give you kingdom authority. May the knowledge of God empower and sustain you. May the mercy of God forgive you of your sins. May the grace of God grant you salvation. And may the Spirit of God change you forever, so that you may serve Him with joy, witness to His truth, proclaim His kingdom, and let your light so shine that all the world may know that you love and serve the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. John, you got about a minute of closing.
Well, folks, the battle doesn't end, but for eternal life, it ended at the cross. And when Jesus Christ hung on the cross and shed His blood, died and shed His blood, He paid the full penalty for sin. That gives us the victory, and it gives us assurance of eternal life. And what we need to do is repent, turn to the Lord, confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, dying on the cross for our sin, and then turn to stay with the Word of God and stay focused. Never take your eyes of what Jesus did, and you'll have assurance of eternal life.
And you've got God's word on that. And
the God's word on that.
Here's what
the whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
All righty. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God bless. Good night. Always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.